3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back once again to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. Podcast number 101 of the season. We've broken through the 100 barrier. Here we are, number 101. We have a lot to get to in this one. We're going to break down the game last night. What a ball game that was. Get you ready for day baseball today. The King on the Hill, King Felix against the Oakland A's. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll hear from Taiwan Walker. We'll hear from James Paxton after his brilliant start. We'll also hear from John Lester, who is going to start today for Oakland. And, of course, is a Tacoma native. It's funny. They face Oakland in a three-game series. In game one, you have a South Kitsap pitcher on the hill for Oakland. In game three, you have a Bellarmine Prep pitcher taking the mound. The old Narrows League representing in the Oakland A's rotation. How about that? I think it is a given that the best ball players did come from the Narrows League. I could be biased. That could be my bias. What a fun ball game that was. We'll hear from Lloyd McClendon coming up as well. And also, I think a pretty interesting discussion on Paxton and Walker that all ties together that we had on the roundtable and yesterday's pregame show. And if you weren't with us for the postgame show last night, it's too bad. I feel like singing because it's still in my head. I'm not going to sing because that would be awful. And you would never listen to the podcast again, and I wouldn't blame you. So I'm not going to sing. But here's what I want you to do. Just start singing out loud the Sesame Street jingle. You know, the Sesame Street song. Sunny Day, you know. And just substitute the very beginning. Substitute Sunny Gray at the very beginning. It's incredibly catchy. Yeah, go ahead. You can do it. Do it out loud. Even if you're in your car at work, it doesn't matter. Just sing it out loud. Sunny Gray. Yeah, it's very catchy. Very good. We spent a long time on the postgame show on that last night. So that's important stuff. So I'm glad we got that out of the way. But Sonny Gray going against the M's last night. And he has really, really pitched well against the Mariners in his career. You know, only given up 4 earned runs in his career against the Mariners. 5 starts, over 30 innings of work against the Mariners. But they touched him up big time. But really, all eyes on James Paxton coming to this one. Mariners badly needed a good start. Their rotation has scuffled the last 10 starts, an ERA over 7. They needed one in a big way, and they got off to a nice start. James Paxton on the hill, he was rolling early, and it got a lot of help from his defense early on, too. Kyle Seager, tremendous play in the first inning.
The 1-1 to Lowry, swing and a one-hopper to third, high in the air. Seager going back, he's got it. Spin move 360, the throw to first is in time to get Lowry. Kyle Seager took a half step in, then had to go back to his left. The big one-hopper behind him off his left shoulder had to go high in the air. Did a nice little 360 spin move, picked up his target, throws out Lowry, 2 outs.
James Paxton was rolling early, faced the minimum in the first, the minimum again in the second.
Together 2-2, strike 3 called, got him looking with a breaking ball. James Paxton with his second strikeout of the ball game. And there's 2 outs for the A's here in the bottom of the second.
And a trend was forming early that would continue on through the later stages of the ball game as Paxton was really rolling. Meanwhile, in the third inning, the Mariners coke back-to-back walks to start the frame. Chavez, Miller, back-to-back free passes. Sucre moves him over with a sacrifice bunt, and that set up things for Austin Jackson.
The pitch, swinging a line drive right back up the middle, of base hit. Chavez scores. Here comes Miller. He hits the bag at third. Gentry's throw home. It's cut off by the mound. Miller slides in safely at home, and 2 runs come home on Austin Jackson's single right up the pipe. And it's 2-0 Mariners in the third inning.
That was big. Austin Jackson, 2 hits early on, but that was a huge one to drive in 2 runs. The Mariners draw first blood, 2-0. going to the fourth, too. Seager would ground out and then back at it. Morales base hit, and then a double by Morrison. And again, they're set up, and that would bring up Andy Chavez.
2-2 on the way to Andy. Swing and a chopper past the mound, in behind second, and out into center field it goes. Morales will score. Morrison running third, heading home. Nobody's at second base. Andy flies into second with a head-first slide with a double. A little chopper past the mound. It scores two. And the Mariners have a 4-0 lead over the Athletics. No one was around second base.
That's your routine infield chopper double from Andy Chavez, who just kept right on running. No one home at second base. He drives in two. He takes second. That was awfully impressive. Great AB there to drive in two more. And already in the fourth inning, the Mariners had equaled their entire output they've ever had against Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray had only given up four earned runs in five starts against the Mariners coming in his career. Mariners had four runs against him in the fourth inning, and they still weren't done. On the other side, though, James Paxton getting more help from his defense.
The 0-1 pitch, runner goes, a ball thrown on to second by Sucre, and out at second base, Gentry. Down with a tag, Robinson Cano. Jesus Sucre gets Gentry trying to steal, and the A's have one out here in the bottom half of the fourth.
A cannon to second base. What a throw there by Sucre. And then in the fifth inning, the thunder offensively from Kyle Seager.
The 1-0 pitch to Seager. Swing and a well-hit ball. Deep to right field. Reddick going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager with his 21st home run of the season. It comes with Cano aboard, and it's now the Mariners 6 and the Athletics nothing here in the top of the fifth inning. And what a night for the Mariners against the tough right-hander in Sonny Gray.
One of the best pitchers in the American League, as the Mariners get him for 6 earned runs. That ties for the most he has ever given up in a start. That's how good the M's were, pounding him and sending him out of this ball game early. Meanwhile, Paxton was just dealing.
Swinging a ground ball, almost gets a piece of Paxton's foot. Instead, it hops out to Cano, and Cano gloves and throws to first base. And it does get a piece of Paxton as it goes down 1-4-3 on the putout. And that'll end things in the seventh. Paxton looked a little mortal in the seventh inning. He faced four batters. It's the first time tonight that he hasn't retired the side in order.
Yeah, how about that? Through the first six, he faced the minimum in every inning, faces four in the seventh inning. In the eighth, in a little bit of a jam, but a DP would help the cause.
Here's the pitch, swung on, ground ball to Seager at third, backhand, tricky hop, got it, down to second, there's one, the relay to first in time, and another double play turned by the Mariners tonight. And that was a thing of beauty. Sharply hit to the right of Kyle Seager, picked it, wheeled around, fired a strike down to Cano to get Fryman, and Cano's relay to first in time to get Soto, 5-4-3.
But Paxton would get chased in the eighth inning as the A's would start to mount a comeback.
The 2-2 swing and a fly ball deep left field. Ackley going back, still going back, warning track. Over his head, it bounces on the track and over the wall. Ground rule double and two runs will score. And it's now the Mariners 6 and the Athletics 3.
And they cut it in half. Going to the ninth inning, Fernando Rodney on, trying to close down his 40th save of the season. Strikes out Donaldson to start the inning. Strikes out Vogt, the second batter of the inning. So far, so good. But then Norris doubles. Another double by Moss to drive in a run. And this was a big one to make this game tight.
The 0-2 on the way to fold. Swing and a line drive deep to right field. Jones on the run. Can't get to it. It's on the track and over the wall. RBI double for Sam Fold. Scoring Moss. And it's now a one-run game. It's now the Mariners 6 and the A's 5, and they have the tying run on its second.
Yeah, tying run at second base. Go-ahead run at the dish. Rodney just looking for that one out.
The pitch to Reddick. Swing and a ground ball past the mound out near second. Miller's got it. Fires the first. In time, and the ball game is over. The Mariners hang on, and they win it tonight. A final score of 6-5 to take game two of the three-game series. Reddick grounds out to Brad Miller near the bag at second. Holy smokes, what a finish to this one.
What a ball game. Mariners win 6-5. They have evened this series.
Yeah, and that was quite a ball game by the M. 6-5, they hold on, they get the victory. Fernando Rodney, a little bit of Mariners history, tied for the second highest save total in a single season behind only Kazuhiro Sasaki. That's impressive. And, of course, James Paxton was absolutely brilliant. You know, at one point, busting in Donaldson at 99 miles per hour. I mean, his pure stuff is just amazing. And he talked about after the game, his start against the A's.
No, I was just going right after him with fastballs, and they weren't making the adjustment. They were hitting ground balls and hitting it right at guys, so I just kept on pounding away, and they got themselves out.
Very efficient, too. I mean, not a lot of strikeouts, and were going to induce the contact.
Yeah, they were just putting the ball in play, and guys were making the plays behind me, and it was going pretty quick.
The defense itself, the double plays, Sucre throwing that guy out, I mean, how big was that for you?
That was huge. You know, Sucre throwing that guy out was big, and defense making great plays behind me, turning those double plays and stuff, really helped, and Sucre called a great game behind the plate.
It seemed like you weren't just pounding your fastball, but locating it as well, in up, down.
Yeah, I was moving around a little bit, and that definitely helped. I had some good life on it tonight, so they weren't really able to square it up too many times. So that was good.
Your first start of the year, very good. Your last start, very good. Where would you rank this one?
Somewhere in the middle. You know, I'd say my fastball command was pretty decent. I lost the handle a little bit there in the eighth. My curveball was better tonight. I feel like it's not as sharp as it can be right now. For throwing strikes with it, cutter and changeup are getting better. But I think that there's still, you know, adjustments to make, and I can still get sharper.
But at the same time, is this the production level you want to get to? And now it's just a matter of maintaining this each time.
Exactly. Yeah. You know. I mean. Just like to go deep in the game and give our team a chance to win, and that's my main focus right now.
You get anxious in the night, like everyone else upstairs?
Oh, you know, we had it the whole time. I knew we had it. It was good.
And then Lloyd McClendon as well. I mean, talk about high compliments, and he's been talking in these kinds of terms about James Paxton for a while, what he means to this team.
Start with Pax. I mean, that's 7-plus innings. Pretty good.
He's our glue. I told you guys that. He's good. This young man's got greatness written all over him. He's just got to stay healthy. He's going to be just fine.
Did he lose something in the eighth? Or just?
Well, you know, you got to remember, this is the first time he's been up and down 8 times all year. You know? So it's a little different. You know, and you lose a little bit. And you could tell the edge was off his stuff in the eighth inning.
At what point in the eighth or ninth did you get anxious?
Well, you know, I've seen this ball club do what they did tonight a lot of times. You know, I competed against them for so many years now. This is a tough ballpark, and the crowd really pumps them up. And they're never out of a game, you know. I felt good about our bullpen, you know, holding the lead. And they did. You know, Rodney made some nice pitches. They put tougher bats on them.
Has Sonny Gray been really good against you?
Really good against everybody.
Yeah, right. But get 6 runs in 5 innings.
We had great at-bats. You know, we grinded at-bats out tonight. Jackson was outstanding. Did a tremendous job for us. At-bats were prety darn good tonight.
Andy's double up the middle, 12 hopper up the middle, and he gets a double on that.
Well, listen, Andy's he's a pro. A lot of people don't like the way he goes about it. You know, they can talk about all the sabermetric stuff and war stuff they want to talk about, but Andy Chavez is a baseball player through and through, and he gets it done. You know, a lot of times it doesn't look pretty, but he gets the job done.
So big start for Paxton, big win for the Mariners. I wrote something on 710sports.com if you want to see my thoughts on the rotation the rest of the way. Clearly, you know, they need to pitch well in the rotation to seal a playoff berth. And I think James Paxton and Taijuan Walker can be a large part of that. And I lay out all my thoughts there. I think James Paxton, I think the world of his ability, and I think he can be huge down this last month of the season. And you heard what Lloyd McClendon thinks of him as well. I mean, he's thinking along those lines. And we see it all the time. I mean, just last year. Think back to last season. Teams pushing for the postseason. You had the Cleveland Indians. They had Salazar. Danny Salazar come up and was just lights out in September. Michael Wacha became a star for the St. Louis Cardinals last season at the end of the year. Sonny Gray came up for the Oakland A's. And, you know, not only had a huge last month of the season, but ended up starting game one of a postseason series. I mean, he caught fire. Those young studs, those great arms. Can James Paxton do that same sort of thing for the Mariners here down the stretch? I mean, it's quite a weapon to have. He's got all the stuff. He's got all the ability. Maybe he's the X factor. And maybe Taijuan Walker can be that guy as well. Maybe it's an and-or situation. But it's the question I took to the roundtable. You know, is this a possibility? Given, you know, this happens, young pitchers pop for that last month and can push a team over the top. Can Paxton and Walker be those type of guys?
I think it's very possible that could happen from the standpoint of that you have to have Paxton pitch like we know that he can pitch, and he has been since coming off the disabled list. And you see what he has done now that he has gotten healthy. And he hasn't given up more than two earned runs in a single start yet. So we know that Paxton, as Lloyd McClendon has said, he has superstar written all over him. Taijuan Walker blows, obviously, the guy that's a little bit more of a wild card right now. But what we saw from him yesterday certainly is promising. And Lloyd was very candid today about what he feels about Chris Young. And he needs to see more, in essence, what he said before he can give Young the keys again.
Well, I think that you have to be encouraged what you saw from Walker yesterday. It's something that Rick and I talked about. With him, I like the adjustment that he made. One, being willing to make an adjustment. So many times we see young players in today's game that they're just stubborn and they don't want to make adjustments. But Walker made an adjustment. He's pitching out of the stretch. There's very little going on with him. It's almost a complete change of what we saw when he was in the windup. And then I thought the biggest thing, Rick, is to, again, just to see him come in and throw his fastball with some aggression yesterday, right out of the gate. He didn't try to feel his way into it, didn't try to work around it till he got comfortable. He came in right away. And I think a lot of that is the conversation that he had with Lloyd.
Exactly. Throw your fastball and throw strikes, and that's how you beat this ball club. We talked a little bit about that, about the Oakland A's take them out of their game. But I think what really helps out both James Paxton and now Taijuan Walker is the fact that they were here a year ago in September. They got that experience under their belt in September. Not only that they pitched in September, they had success in September. I mean, Paxton made four starts against four ball clubs that were heading for a playoff berth and was 3-0 with a 1.50 ERA. You find out, hey, I can get big leaguers out. You find out, hey, I can pitch at this level. And Taijuan Walker last year made a handful of starts, and he was 3-0 with a 360 ERA, or excuse me, 1-0 with a 360 ERA. So I think that experience really helped out, and now they got a chance to, you know, do something here in the month of September, but it helps to have the veteran guys in that rotation to be the anchor for them, to have a Felix Hernandez, to have a Hisashi Iwakuma, even a Chris Young, who's been very effective this year. Yeah, he had a rough start last time, but I think last September really helped out these kids and will help them out this September. Shannon?
That's an excellent point, and they come in having that experience and two of the freshest arms right now in that rotation, assuming that we will see Walker Moore in the rotation at some point, if not a little bit later in the week. And, you know, that's big. They're both feeling healthy, and they're both feeling strong right now. It's great to see Taijuan hit 97 the other day. We didn't see that the first couple of times that he was up and coming back from injury. And he's got full confidence that that's behind him. Paxton's got full confidence that that's behind him. And Paxton is still kind of, I don't want to say feeling his way, but he hasn't been 100% as far as, okay, I've been doing this, it's now automatic. I feel like I've been pitching for a little while right now. He's close. We could see that all click in tonight for him. But where they're at right now physically as compared to everybody else, they're so far ahead of the eight ball because of everything, all the time that they've missed this year. And quite honestly, you know, you need it right now.
And, Gary, you gave a good list of young pitchers last season to come and help their teams. And one we can add to it is the guy we're seeing on the mound tonight for the Oakland A's, Sonny Gray. 10 starts last year once he got called up from AAA. And then he pitched twice in the divisional series and then was their opening day starter this year. I mean, Gray was a nobody in terms of Major League Baseball experience. And then they skipped him they skipped Bartolo Colon, so Gray could pitch in what at the time was the biggest game of the season for the Oakland A's. So we're looking at a guy right now tonight who has carried that momentum into this year and has been such a horse, of course, for the A's.
And, of course, Walker coming off, not a star, but came out of the bullpen in game one of the series, and he was sensational. He gave up just one earned run in six innings. And Shannon Dreher had a chance to talk with him about that outing.
No rest for you. You got right out there the first night, and that probably had to feel good for you just to be able to get right in right away.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, especially being in the bullpen, it's new to me. So I didn't want to sit around all game and maybe get in. It sucks. I had to get in there early. You know, you always want your starters to go as deep as possible, but, you know, it's baseball, so you have those kind of games. So I just made sure I was ready.
I think everybody liked what they saw out there on the hill from you. One of the things that jumped out at me is we haven't seen a ton of you, but that's one of the better changeups that we've seen from you.
Yeah. I mean, and definitely because it's working off my fastball. So my fastball command, I thought, was pretty good yesterday, working in and out. And so, I mean, everything works off my fastball. And just keeping them off balance like that with my changeup definitely helped.
We also saw you get up to 97 with a fastball, and I remember kind of when you were coming back, that took a little while. Yeah. How did that evolve? How did you get to where you felt comfortable to let it loose like that, and it came back?
I had a start in Albuquerque on the first week of August, and probably the worst start of my career. Gave up 8 runs, went like 2 innings, and my next start, I went out and had one of my best games of my career. I think K'd 13 people, and so, I mean, after that, I don't know what clicked, but everything just was rolling from there. So we just I just kind of kept everything the same, and I got a boost of confidence just going out there, and I just was letting it go, and the velo came back. So it definitely helps a lot mentally too, knowing that my velo is back up there.
So what did you tell yourself after that Albuquerque start?
I pretty much challenged myself. I told myself, look, I need to step up, especially if I want to get a September call up. I have to do something different. I have to step up, go out there and show them I can compete and pitch, you know. So I just kind of challenged myself, told myself to go out there and just go as deep as I can, leave the mound with no regrets.
September call-up, I mean, that's a great goal. So at that definitely. Point, you really kind of focused in on, you know, I need to do this.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially with the team doing so well. And, you know, we're fighting for that wild card spot. So it's huge. It's huge for me to come up here and help any way I can. You know, I've been talking to Ware and letting them know, like, I'll do whatever I can to help. So, you know, coming up here and helping out and hopefully helping them get to the playoffs is my goal.
We've talked about this before, but it looked like Lloyd gave you another push the other day.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? I don't look at it as negative because he's not going to push you if he thinks it's there, but I think some people would. How do you deal with it?
I've had a couple coaches, you know, get on me before, and, you know, stuff like that really fires me up, and, you know, it makes me want to go out there and just show them that I can do it, and I can go out there and dominate. So, you know, it's happened to me growing up when I was in Little League, even in basketball. My basketball coach, she halftime got on me, and the second half of that game, I scored 32 points. So stuff like that just really fires me up, and it really gets me going to go out there and just compete and just pretty much just show what I got.
You went out there and you, without a doubt, delivered. So if I ever get an interview from you that I don't quite like, I should probably just tell you, kind of let you have it.
Yeah, just let me have it. I'll make sure it's better next time.
Perfect. I think this is an obvious question, but you probably feel better equipped right now to do what you're doing than you did, say, 3 months ago or 2 months ago when you first were healthy.
Oh, yes,
what's
definitely
the difference right now for you?
I think just confidence. I think confidence is a big thing right now, because I mean I have confidence I can go out there and throw 50 fastballs for strikes in a row. So, you know, I was ready. I wanted to come up here and pitch, but I just got down myself real fast a lot. So, but right now, you know, my confidence level is out of the roof, and I've been pitching. I've been throwing the ball pretty well my last 6 starts. So I just been riding that and just kind of just working off that.
It was great to see yesterday.
Yeah,
thank you, Taiwan.
Yeah, thank you.
So that bears watching, Paxton Walker, the rest of the way. So now let's turn our attention to the ball game today. Felix Hernandez against John Lester. And all eyes will be on the king, Felix Hernandez. We've talked about it too. Mike Blowers has mentioned it, Shannon Dreher. I think we all will know about Felix Hernandez after this start in Oakland, a place where he pitches well against a team he always pitches well against in a big circumstance. I mean, one of the most important starts of his career when you lay it out with what's on the line and you think, you know, the rest of this season, you hope they increase, you know, get more important as you move on because that means things are going in the right direction. But this is an important start for the team, trying to take the series against Oakland, which would be huge. An important start for Felix Hernandez after giving up four home runs and getting knocked around a little bit. And again, I look back at the Detroit series, getting squeezed in that one. Boston, you know, gives up a three-run home run, but after a fluke double, in quotes, and then an intentional walk, and Cespedes with just a great AB. I didn't think he was that bad in Boston, but he got hit around against Washington. The velocity was there. Everything was there except the command. You saw him leave some pitches over the plate, which he, especially high, which he never does. So, big outing today, Felix Hernandez. 12:35 first pitch, 11:30 for the pregame show. I'm pretty optimistic about this ball game for Felix Hernandez. I think we're going to see the king in this one, and I'm anxious to see Felix Hernandez against the Oakland A's. Now, on the other side, former Bellarmine prep pitcher, former Red Sox, and now Oakland A. John Lester, just coming over a couple of weeks ago. Aaron Goldsmith, a chance to catch up with the A's pitcher.
Well, John, it seemed like countless trades were made for the Red Sox right around the trade deadline, but none was bigger than you coming here to the Bay Area. What was it like for the first time in your career after nearly nine full seasons with the Red Sox to be putting on a different uniform for the first time?
It was cool. I mean, obviously coming into this clubhouse, I know a lot of the guys in here played with them at one time, so that made the transition a little bit smoother. And, you know, once you get used to, you know, putting on a on some different colors and, you know, different clubhouse, it's, you know, back to baseball. So the transition was pretty smooth. You know, we're still transitioning, but, you know, everything's gone pretty well.
Year in and year out and during the course of your career, you've been one of the best left-handers in the game. But this year, it seems like, just looking at the numbers, you've ratcheted it up to even a higher notch. What is it that's been working so well for you this season?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is just when – runners getting scoring position. I just, for some reason, been able to bear down a little bit more and not allow a big inning to happen. So I think that's really it. I mean, I think you look at, you know, if you take away ERA, if you compare my numbers on year in and year out, it's basically the same. But, you know, the ERA's been down a little bit this year, just I think just for that reason, just for whatever reason it is, just, you know, runners getting scoring position, just able to bear down and not allow them to score.
You have Washington roots from Tacoma. What are your memories playing at Bellarmine High School down in Tacoma?
Oh, I mean, obviously great. You know, you learn how to play baseball. You know, you learn how to go about things the right way and figure out, you know, you start figuring out what works for you and what could possibly get you to the next level. And I was fortunate enough to get looked at for some colleges and you know, then obviously never really realized how much of a chance I had to play pro ball, and that kind of fell into my lap a little bit later, and you know, was glad I made the decision to go to pro ball.
Do you still have some family out in the Northwest?
Yeah, all my family still, mom and dad and grandpa, all that stuff still lives up there. So it's nice when we get to go play Seattle, I get to go, you know, see everybody, and you know, it's hard in the off seasons are so short sometimes, and now with two little ones, you know, it's hard to make that cross-country flight and get back to see everybody during the off-season. But, you know, it's nice to have an extra trip this year going back up to Seattle.
Were you able to get to many Mariners games as a kid?
Not many, just because, you know, growing up in Puyallup, it's, you know, 45 minutes, an hour drive with, you know, without traffic. So it was hard. We went to a lot more Rainiers games than we did, you know, half of Rainiers and half of the – I don't even remember what they used to be called when they were at the A's. So, you know, that was a lot easier and obviously a lot cheaper. And, you know, I went to, I think, one or two maybe at Safeco, and then I think just one at the Old Kingdom.
Who are some of your favorite Mariners growing up?
I mean, you know, the obvious ones, Randy Johnson, Griffey, Edgar, you know, watching all those guys, Jay Buhner, Dan Wilson. I mean, all those guys growing up. I mean, obviously, you know, Griffey was more of the national guy. You know, every kid wanted to be him when they grew up, so it was nice to have him in the backyard just to watch, and on an everyday basis we got spoiled with him in center field. So, you know, and it was a good time to be a Mariners fan, you know, them getting the playoffs there in 95, and then you know, the 116 wins in 2001, and obviously with the new stadium and all that stuff, is exciting time. And you know, it's nice to see them, you know, back into it and selling that place out.
John, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
So there it is. Are you ready? Felix Day is here. Felix against Lester. Tough to beat that as the M's go for the series against the A's. Man, it'd be big if they could take this series. To get you ready, we're going to dip back in the past, but not too far in the past. This was only a few months ago. So here it is. This will get you ready for Felix against Oakland.
Felix ready. Here comes the 1-2. Swing and a miss. It's dropped by Zunino, who applies the tag, and there's number 11. Felix strikes out the side of the seventh inning, and he has flat out owned the A's tonight at Safeco Field.
See you later!